This is Mel Rojas Jr. You're listening to H10, Hanshin Tigers English News.
You're listening to H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where your passion for the first place Hanshin Tigers knows no limits. Today is Canada Day, July the 1st. Happy birthday to my home country. And this is episode 131. I am your host, Canadian T-Ray. With me today in Kyoto is JD. How you doing, man?
Yeah, not Canadian, but I'm doing pretty good. And congratulations on Canada Day. Eh?
Oh, thank you so much. And happy advanced 4th of July to you and your fellow countrymen.
Thank you.
And women. So as you heard in the opener, we have got a special guest on today's show. It is going to be a good one. Mel Rojas Jr. sat down with me to do an interview. So I hope you really enjoy that. I know I really enjoyed talking to him. Strap in and join us for a great ride. It's time for the Rumors and News.
Rumors and News. Rumors and News.
All right, man. Well, as we love doing, first and foremost, we're going to talk about our imports and what's been going on with them. First of all, Joe Gunkel and Raul Alcantara are back in the rotation on the top squad after some time down on the farm, just resting or rehabbing, whatever it might have been. That means John Edwards is back on the farm, and he has been pitching the eighth inning for a lot of the games for them there. As for other guys that have been, well, I wouldn't say permafarm, JD, but they've been there for a good long time. Those would be Wei-Yin Chen and Mel Rojas Jr. Chen actually had an outing on June the 20th, but it lasted, I think, something like 11 or 12 pitches, and he got hurt. And then he had, so this is kind of inside, like I texted Mel, and, you know, because he was at the game, and I was like, hey, man, what happened to Chen? Is he okay? And he goes, I don't know. He's getting an MRI tomorrow. But I don't think it's that serious. And so the 21st, supposedly Chen had an MRI, but I didn't hear anything about it. And I'm guessing that in this case, no news is good news.
Well, I don't know. You never know with the Tigers, because you get this injury and they just go, like, you get radio silence for like months sometimes. Like Takahashi, for example, is a good example of a guy who you just heard completely dropped off the radar. So I always worry a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, the other thing is, I think as we mentioned on the last show, the media doesn't have as much access to the farm. And so it could very well be that, again, like the silence actually just means they don't know either, which is like just a very weird place to be as a Hanshin fan, because the media seems to know everything, including what every player is eating for dinner and all sorts of just crazy stuff, right? So, But anyways, we hope that Chen is better. He has not started since then, as far as I know, which means that he's at least missed one start in the rotation on the farm. But he's a guy that could come in handy. We're going to talk about our pitchers later in the show. Possibly. And so then we'll see if there's a space for him. But Mel Rojas Jr., man, he is second in the Western League in home runs. And keep in mind, he hasn't even played, you know, a full schedule down there or even close. He's got 7 home runs on the farm. Yesterday, June the 30th, he went 4-for-4 out in Hiroshima. And I think, I mean, his average is still not like super high, but it's a 264, which is, you know, pretty good. Actually, for the farm, that is pretty good. So he's chomping at the bit to get back up to the top squad. But man, this is just a hard roster to crack, especially with the import limitation and the positional limitations that are placed on these guys, because we've got Oyama at third, and then we've got Sato in right field. And so where do you put Rojas, right? So it's just really a tough thing. I think everyone was kind of banking on Marte getting hurt this year, and it just hasn't happened, man.
Marte just, he won't give up, man. He just will not give him a chance to get rid of him. I think he knows it. Although, you know, now, I mean, we might get to this in the recaps, but Oyama's been demoted. So he might, I mean, I think that the chances of Oyama getting completely kicked out of the lineup are pretty low. But still, you know, who knows? He might find himself on thin ice at some point here.
Oh, yeah. So by demotion, you're talking from the number 4 hitter down to the number six spot,
yeah.
But not that he's been sent to the farm or benched yet.
No.
Although, you know, that could be coming at some point. So yeah, Marte is actually one of, like, I think 4 guys in the Central League who has played every game and has gotten the start in the same place in the batting order every game of the season. One of the others is Chikamoto, who has been the number one or leadoff hitter for the Tigers in every single game this year. But Marte has been in that number three slot. Really solid contributor, and honestly deserves the all-star vote in that he got. And speaking of which, that's the next bit of news that we've got here for you. Seven out of 11 positions in the all-star voting. Keep in mind, there's three pitchers that are voted in by the fans, so it's 11 positions or 11 slots. Seven of them were Hanshin Tigers.
Unreal. And so
in the mid-reliever spot, Suguru Iwazaki got it. The closer, Robert Suarez. Catcher, Ryutaro Umeno. First base, Jeffrey Marte. Shortstop, Takumu Nakano over Sakamoto. In your face. And then in the outfield, we were pretty close to the clean sweep, but right in the very last moments, Seiya Suzuki bested Jerry Sands, who finished fourth, but Chikamoto and Sato are also starters in the All-Star game, so pretty impressive stuff. We were almost up to 8 out of 11, but 7 out of 11, nothing to sneeze at. And the great news, in my opinion, is no Giants in the starting nine. Yeah, for the first time since 2003. So, by the way, the other four guys that are starting would be two Swallows, Yamada and Murakami, and two Carp. Seiya Suzuki and Masato Morishita will be the starting pitcher.
Right, right. Man, so, well, I mean, Nakano in shortstop doesn't surprise me. He's far more likable than Sakamoto, so.
Likeable, yeah. skilled, well, maybe on the defensive end. Well, anyways,
intangibles. I mean, intangibles are important, all right? That's what I'm talking about.
There you go. So, yeah, it is going to be a fun weekend of baseball to watch. Usually I don't look forward to these things, and I think maybe part of the reason is because, really, since I've been a Hanshin Tigers fan for the past 7 years, there haven't been a lot of All-Star games where there's been like a good representation of our guys, particularly in the starting lineup. And so it's really nice to see the fans came out and picked these guys, but it makes sense. I mean, our team has been in first place for the whole season, so these names are getting a bit more recognition than right. they would have in years past.
Right.
So, flipping over to the other Tigers team, not the farm team, but the Hanshin Tigers women. In case you didn't know, the Tigers have kind of loaned their name to this team, if you will. But they're kind of semi-pro, because I'm pretty sure the ladies don't actually get paid to play, which is, I think, really unfortunate. Mm. But anyways, they are a team, their squad, the Hanshin Tigers women. They entered an official tournament, I think, last week, and they absolutely obliterated their competition. They won the tournament. And so, big congratulations to them. I know a lot of these ladies, I don't know them. What I was going to say is I know that a lot of them are super stoked to be wearing a Hanshin Tigers uniform, because a lot of them are local girls who grew up watching the Hanshin Tigers. And even a couple of them I've been reading in the Tigers magazine have said, like, I always dreamed that I'd be able to play a game at Koshien, and I always thought it was just, like, you know, a far-fetched fantasy. But they haven't actually played a full game at Koshien, I don't think, but they have, some of the girls have been the ceremonial first pitch girls, or they've been driving the bullpen car, or they've been the ball girls. They've actually kind of had those side jobs at the stadium, and so just to be that close to the players and to the team that they grew up loving has been a good thing for them. I would encourage any of you out there, if you have a chance, to somehow, like, at the very least, follow the Hanshin Tigers women Twitter account or Instagram, if they have, give those a follow. Because I really think that, you know, it's great to see the ladies getting a chance to play the game and to get some exposure. I don't know, have you seen any of their action, or have you been following it all, JD?
I haven't followed the Tigers at all, but I did. Japan does have a women's league here, and the Kyoto team, the Kyoto Flora, we went out and caught a couple of their games here in Kyoto. This is quite a while ago, it was a few years back, so I haven't been following as much lately. But it's a lot of fun, you know, I mean, the skill level obviously isn't as high as you get when you're talking about the top squad of the MPB, but for me, any baseball is great baseball. And going out, and especially seeing players who are playing, regardless of what level they're at, playing for the love of the game more than, you know, the salary that they're making, which is obviously not an excuse to say that it's okay for them not to get paid, of course. But you know, just going out there and just trying their absolute best, it's always fun to watch. And I always enjoyed the games I went to. So, yeah, everybody definitely follow along for sure. It's a lot of fun to watch.
I think it's just a matter of time before the continued exposure gets them the opportunity to play at Koshien. And, you know, if it does grow in popularity, these women are going to get paid, hopefully, and properly paid for doing this. And I just think it's great for the sport. It's also great for, not that we want to get political or anything too much here, but certainly like the gender gap in Japan is very pronounced. And I mean, this is a very small part of society, but any part where we can kind of like squish that gap down and minimize it or even like obliterate it is great. So all the more power to them.
Absolutely. I mean, and I've got a daughter too. So, I mean, for me being able to bring my daughter out to a baseball game, you know, where there's all girls playing, it's just like, that's a good feeling. So yeah, I agree 100%.
I can imagine. Yeah. All right. Well, let's finish up the rumors and news by talking about some of our injuries. And to the best of my knowledge, we really have three guys that we want to kind of zero in on. One of them, I think, is this is going to be his final time that we talk about him unless something else happens. And that would be Yasuhiro Yamamoto, whose appendicitis appears to have been completely fixed up. And so he is back to playing in farm games. And bro, I don't want to get too much into who I hate because we'll talk about that another time. But Seiya Kinami, I don't know what he's doing on the top squad. I would honestly be happy to swap him down to the farm and bring Yamamoto up. Not that Yamamoto's a power hit or anything, but I just feel a lot more confident with him, especially in the field, compared to Kinami. So Yamamoto, yeah, maybe the next time we talk about you is going to be in a recap or who knows, player of the month, maybe. I kind of doubt it, but yeah, so that'll be it for him. Okay, so two pitchers that have experienced injuries, one of whom got hurt during interleague, that would be Keisuke Kobayashi. He said on June the 25th that he is ready for game action, and I would imagine that would mean on the farm before he actually gets a call up into the bullpen. And you and I both know that this bullpen needs a couple of extra reliable arms because they continue to just be a hot mess. So we're looking forward to him being able to come back. And then, you know, the guy that I think everybody is most concerned about and going, where is this guy, would be Takahashi, Haruto Takahashi, whose name has kind of vanished from the headlines and even just from any news clips. I finally found a bit of news that on June the 25th, so about a week ago, he did a 43-pitch bullpen. And I think it's just a matter of time before they get him into some game action down on the farm. Sorry, here's one more little bit of news that is kind of related, because I was going to say maybe this is Takahashi's rehab stint, and that would be that during the Olympic break, which takes place from, I believe, July the 18th through August 10th, 11th, around then, the Tigers have actually scheduled 12 exhibition games. And so that might be Takahashi's time to actually get back up to where he needs to be to join the rotation after the Olympic break. That's kind of my hope. That's not something I've read about, but what are your thoughts on that, man?
Yeah, I mean, that would be the time to do it if you're going to do it. You know, I mean, no, there's, you know, no real stakes. Nothing's at stake in all those games. And, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, trying to keep him in and getting as much out of him as you can. You can let him pitch into what he's comfortable at. So I think it's great. And I mean, just in general, I'm not really going to be watching the Olympics very much, so I'm glad there's going to be some baseball for me to watch at that time too. So, and I believe the games, they're playing a couple games at the Dome, the Kyocera Dome as well too. So they're all going to be in Kansai, yeah? Or are they playing up in Tohoku too?
They're playing in Sendai for three.
Sendai, that's right. Okay, yeah.
They've
okay.
got Sendai for three. There's six at Koshien, three at Kyocera Dome, and three in Sendai. All of these games are going to be against Pacific League opponents. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they purposely did things this way, but I'm okay with that as well.
Yeah. Yep.
So check H10. We've got the schedule up on the site in the schedule section, and it's just called like Olympic break or Olympic exhibition games or something like that. You'll find it. All right. Before we get into the recaps, let's thank some of our patrons, because the Patreon continues to roll, and it's only possible thanks to people like the Tokyo Swallows, who not only allow the Tigers to beat them, but also are supporting H10 on Patreon. Thank you so much to Kozo and the guys. Check out their podcast, which I haven't heard a new episode in a while, but given, like, they tend to do theirs at the end of months, so there might be one coming out real soon, but go check them out on your favorite podcast catcher. Tokyo Swallows, they are a cool bunch of guys.
I'm glad actually that they didn't pull their funding from us after I trashed them last time around, so thanks guys.
Right. I need to go back on this. Anita also is supporting us on Patreon. I appreciate her help. Zorni, who is on the Koshien tour and is going to be coming to Japan as soon as he can. I know that that's in his heart because even his Twitter handle, which is Curse of the Z, says that his heart is always at Kosciuszko. So we can't wait for you to come back here, Zorny. Ian Hadle is on the All Digital platform, and we are thankful for his sponsorship. And finally, Paolo in Kobe. I'm going to be actually checking out a game with him about a week from today, or a week from tomorrow, actually. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with him at Kosciuszko Stadium. But I thank you, Paolo, for your patronage as well. Recap. All right, for a little something different during the recaps, actually, we are going to kind of go a little bit back and forth here. I'm going to take one series, JD will take the next, and we'll keep going back and forth until we finish things up. We had 11 games between the last time that we talked and today. We faced the Giants for three, went on the road to go to play against the Dragons. Then we hosted the Bay Stars and were two-thirds of the way through hosting the Yakult Swallows as well. Let me talk about the Giants series. And so first off, on June the 18th, which was the first game back after the Interleague and Interleague break, we faced the Giants at home. And we got 7 runs in the first 3 innings thanks to a Sands RBI double, Umeno RBI double, Chikamoto RBI double in the bottom of the second. And then in the bottom of the third, we get a grand slam from Jerry Sands to deep right center. That, I mean, how could you not be excited about the way the Tigers started things off, especially against the Giants? And, you know, we were, what, 7 games up on them heading into this one. And so we bring it up to 8 because the only blemish was a fourth inning Wheeler RBI single. And then Oyokawa and Iwasada shut things down at the end with the 6-run lead. So we win this one 7-1, and we're now 8 games up on the Giants. Sorry, everybody, that is as good as it gets, because the very next day we lose 6-2. Unfortunately, things did not go as planned the rest of the weekend. We gave up some 2-out solo home runs. These were Ito, who gave one up to Oshiro and one up to Sakamoto. Those would be in the 4th and 6th innings, and that made the score 3-1 because they got one early in the first inning and we got one back in the bottom of the first. We made it 3-2 thanks to a Sato home run to deep right center in the bottom of the 6th, but then they tacked on 3 runs. I think 2 of them were against Fujinami, a 2-run home run by Maru, and then a sack fly from Kamei in the 9th to put us out of our misery. 6-2 loss. The series is even. We're only 7 games up. And so that's actually not too terribly bad. And we're looking to do some damage on Sunday. You know, we've been pretty good in game day games up to this point in the season, but it just was not our day. So Akiyama was actually quite good through the first 5 innings, particularly the first 3. He was absolutely perfect. But in the top of the 6th, Matsubara hit a 2-run home run to the right field corner. And that was followed in the bottom of the 6th with a Teruaki Sato solo home run. It was the first pitch of his at-bat, and it was the first time he's ever gotten a first pitch home run before. 2-1 for the Giants. That's how it ends, unfortunately. In the bottom of the 9th, we did have a decent chance with Ueda on second base and just one out. But Itoi and Chikamoto struck out to end that game. So we lose this series 2-1. We are now 6 games ahead of the Giants, which still does not sound too bad. And it's not going to be too bad, but take it away. Do you have something to say about the Giants series before we move into the Dragons one? Or
No, it didn't go as well as I wanted it to, but I kind of had a funny feeling that we might not win that one. So, you know, you just hope that you can dust yourself off and really pour it on the teams that we're going to be facing next.
Truth be told, I mean, I just really didn't want them to get swept, and that didn't happen. I mean, 2 out of 3 would have been the icing on the cake and had us 8 games up, but even being 6 games up heading out of a Giants series, you know, like we talked about this in the last episode, the Giants are really our only true threat moving forward, or so we thought. We'll get into that in a bit, but yeah, so we get 1 out of 3 and we're 6-6 against them on the season, which again, that's not as good as we'd hope for, but it's pretty good, especially compared to last year. So yes. Let's go to Nagoya then and talk about the series with the Dragons in Vantolin Dome, where we absolutely suck most of the time. What happened, JD?
Yeah, so we head to Nagoya to the Bantolin Dome. I'm never going to get used to that name. It's always going to be Nagoya Dome for me. So first game of this series, we go in up against Ono, so you know it's going to be a tough game. But we send Aoyagi, who is arguably one of the best pitchers in the MPB now, too. So this is going to be a pitcher's duel, and certainly it was. The only scoring that we had in this one in the second inning, Sato hits a huge double, almost a home run, kind of off the top of the fence there. Ono then walks Sands, and then we get two straight hits by Itohara and Umeno to bring in two runs. And that is all we got, like I said, but that's all we needed because Aoyagi was absolutely fantastic. The only blemish in this game was a single run in the fourth inning, but it wasn't even his fault. In this one, Takamatsu singled and then stole second, and Umeno uncharacteristically tossed the ball into center field, so Takamatsu advances to third, and then he ends up scoring on a Takahashi ground out. So it wasn't even his fault in that one. Aoyagi did get into a one-out first and third jam kind of situation in the sixth, but he managed to get the batter to hit into a double play to get out of it. Iwazaki comes in for the eighth, and then Suarez seals the deal in the ninth, and we win this one 2-1, which is awesome. Anytime you're going up against Ono and you can come away with a win like this, you are happy. And Aoyagi continues to impress, and so that one just went very well overall. We come away with the first win of the series, hoping to do it the next day. We don't, unfortunately. So on the next day, on the 23rd, we send Alcantara to the mound versus Fukutani. Alcantara was a little bit shaky in the first couple of innings. First inning, he gives up a home run. He has a pretty messy second inning, which was not totally his fault. It was partly due to a Marte error. He manages some, the bases are loaded in this one, but he does manage to make it out with only one more run, give it up. So we're down 2-0 after the first two innings. We get a chance in the third with two outs with runners on second and third. Oyama hits a fly ball to right field, but the Dragons right fielder, I believe, is it Kato? Made a fantastic diving play, laid out completely to rob Oyama of a double, probably two runs saved right there. So you tip your cap to him, what are you going to do? We finally get our first run in the fourth inning. We have runners on first and third with no outs. Sato's at third, and he scores on an Itohara ground into double play, actually. So not a very exciting way to get your first run, but a run's a run. Now, in the fifth, I didn't actually see exactly what happened here, but there was a pretty ridiculous play. Chikamoto's on second base. Nakano lays down a bunt. Fukutani, the Dragons pitcher, fields it and tosses it right past Viciedo into right field. Chikamoto tries to score on this one, actually, but he is out by more than a mile. I mean, he kind of cruises into home plate, and the Dragons catcher is kind of standing there like, dude, you're out. And Chikamoto's like, yeah, I'm out, aren't I? Now, what happened here? Was this just Chikamoto? Was this all on Chikamoto, or was he kind of waved home by the third base coach?
Well, so originally it was a hit and run, right? I mean, like, he was already taken off for second when Nakano laid down the bunt. And then when it got thrown away, he went to third. And, yeah, the third base coach is the one who waved him home. So it's kind of on Fujimoto. That's actually the second out that was made on the base paths. Am I correct?
No, I think so. I can't remember.
There were two made on the base paths and then two failed stolen base attempts. And so we actually had four guys die on the bases. Which really hurt our chance in this one. But on one hand, like, that just looks really bad. But then on the other hand, I'm like, well, for all the aggressive running this team does, if they can get all of the junk out in one game where, like, they blow chances in one game, but the rest of the games things go relatively well, I'm kind of okay with it. So I wouldn't say, like, they need to, you know what I mean, like, play more conservative or anything like that.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Well, unfortunately, that was not the only junk we had in this game. We did have one more bright spot in the sixth. Was a massive home run by Sato to center field to tie up the game. So we're tied. You're thinking, well, we might have a chance for this one. Yano goes to Fujinami in the seventh, and that's when the wheels completely come off. So Fujinami's inning looks kind of like this. Walk, foul fly for the first out, single, another walk to load the bases, a strikeout. So you're thinking he might do it. He might get out of this. And then he walks Viciedo to walk in the go-ahead run. And that just kind of seals the deal because on the next batter, he gives up a bases-clearing double to Donoe, which in Fujinami's defense, the outfield was drawn in. So this ball probably, if it wasn't drawn in, the ball probably wouldn't have gone over Sato's head, but because it was, that is what happens. So that brings the score to 6-2, and that's how this one ends. I don't really want to talk about anything else in this game. It was just brutal to watch. So we lose this one, and hoping that we can at least take the series in the next game on the 24th.
So Fujinami now has given up runs in, I think, three consecutive mounds, all in the from the bullpen or all out of the bullpen. You know, so and I'm not saying like people are wrong for having said that he should be a reliever, but certainly he hasn't looked good in that role either.
Now,
after the first pitch, I actually missed the first pitch, but I turned the TV on. I happened to see it right after the first pitch, which I believe was a ball. But I could just tell like Fujinami was already kind of huffing. Maybe I don't think that he was like out of breath, but I think he was trying to calm himself down. Yeah. And I could right then and there, I was like, this is not good Fujinami today. No. And, like after one pitch, if you can see that, but you're still keeping him in and saying, no, boy, you're going to finish this inning. Like, I don't know. Not that I want to, you know, call out the Yano music now, and not that I want Hara to be our manager, but I think Hara's a lot more like really quick to, he's a lot quicker to pull the plug on guys when things aren't going well, and he probably would have even done it. I mean, Hara has pulled his reliever, and I think he even did it against the Tigers during this stretch, mid at bat. And that really pissed me off. I hated that he did it, because it actually, it hurt, because Hojo struck out on that decision there. But I mean, that's the type of manager Hara is, whereas Yano was saying, Shin-chan, you can get through this, you can get yourself out of your own mess, and if you do, that's going to give you confidence. And that, well, what if it doesn't? And that's what happened, right? And this happened now three games in a row that he's given up runs. So I was a little bit upset about that, but whatever. Let's move on to some better news now, bro. Like you said, 24th, let's go.
No, I agree with you 100% on that. But yeah, so 24th we go in, and this one was a great game. It's all us. We actually shut them out. This final score is 6-0. Gunkel just pitches an absolutely fantastic game. 7 innings, 6 hits, 0 runs, lots of ground ball outs. Just great. I guess the only thing I would complain about is that there were no big fireworks for us in this one offensively. Three of our runs come on sack flies, so it's kind of like meh, you know, and two of those are from Oyama, one was from Nakano. The Oyama ones, you know, he did put good contact on the ball, so, you know, he's just kind of got unlucky, I guess, but he still got the runs in, so fair enough there. We had a couple other RBI hits in there to give us our 6 runs. Oyokawa and Iwasada come in to pitch the 8th and 9th innings, respectively. Each of them gives up one hit, but no runs, so we take this one without no real problems. I guess the only thing, there was a little bit of a scare. Sato took a pitch right square off his kneecap, and he actually ended up coming out of the game on that one. He was clearly in some pain. I believe Egoshi came in to replace him after that. But he ended up being okay because he came back and the next day for the next games and played through. So I guess there was no real damage done there. And we win the series, which, like you said, you know, we traditionally play pretty terribly in Nagoya, and we did not this time. So I am quite happy with the whole thing overall. The only real problem there was Fujinami, I guess, not to lay into the guy too much. But aside from that, it was a good series.
Well, and Oyama was actually 0 for 16 before he actually got a hit in this one. And I was hoping that the sack flies, plus I think he got 2 hits in this one maybe. I was hoping that was going to parlay him back into good Oyama. But unfortunately, for the rest of this recap, we really don't hear his name very much anymore, at least not in a positive way, which is really unfortunate.
Now you get the bad job of having to give everybody the real bad news here.
Right, exactly. So you got the 2 wins in Nagoya, you get the miracle recaps, and I get this garbage, right? So we're hosting the Bay Stars, and you know, I wouldn't even say that we have to hope for a series win against the Bay Stars. We assume a series win against the Bay Stars every time we go out against them. We would never guess that they would sweep us, particularly at Koshien. Well, maybe it's even less likely at Yokohama Stadium, but anyways. So for the first time in 6 years, though, the Bay Stars sweep a 3-game series against the Tigers at Koshien Stadium. So there you go. We lose 0-3, 1-3, and 3-8. I was at the middle of these games. What a snooze fest. So really quickly, because there's nothing really good to say, 0-3 in the first one, top of the first with Nishi on the mound. Austin hits a 2-run home run. It's a 2-run home run because of an error. It's even a home run in the first inning because of that error, because it would have otherwise been a 1-2-3 inning. So thanks, Itohara. Welcome back to the top squad. Thanks for nothing for that error. Austin with an RBI single in the top of the 6th, and the Tigers going up against Hamaguchi only get runners in scoring position after Hamaguchi leaves, but they did in each of the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings, but were not able to cash anybody in. So Nishi gets hung with the unfortunate tough luck loss. He's 4-4 on the season. And I'm really thinking that, you know, day games at Koshien against the Bay Stars, I'm going to the game. We're going to get a win. And Ito has been quite good against the Bay Stars so far, so let's keep the good times rolling with Ito versus Bay Stars. He did go 5 shutout innings, but we lost, as I said earlier, 1-3. We got our first run in the top of the second with 3 hits, kind of back-to-back there. 2 hits the rest of the way, though. That's all we got. And in the top of the 7th, Baba gave up a hit, and then Oyakawa came in and gave up a Kuwahara home run. So another 2-run home run that cripples us, and then a hard luck unearned run from Saito in the top of the 8th. The Bay Stars with 4 double plays in this one, the Tigers with 3 double plays in this one, but the Bay Stars also had 13 hits. And the Tigers changed their pitcher mid-inning 3 times in this one. So just a little complaint on my end of things. I've got kids at the game. The Tigers have scored 1 run all game, 2 hits after the second inning, 3 pitching changes. My kids are not even paying attention to baseball anymore, which means I can't really pay attention to baseball, but it doesn't matter because the game sucked. So yeah. It really wasn't a very good Saturday for me or for the Hanshin Tigers.
Any parent knows that games like that, you just got to bribe them with ice cream for the whole game because that's the only way they're going to get through it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we're hoping to avoid the sweep on Sunday. No dice. Home runs from Austin, Soto, Kuwahara, and Soto. Oyama, 0-4. 0-4 with runners in scoring position. 0-5 on the day. We got a couple of runs in the 5th inning thanks to Chikamoto, Itahara, and Marte with back-to-back-to-back doubles. And then Itoi with a sack fly in the 7th inning. If he had hit it maybe another 10, 15, 20 feet, it would have been a 3-run home run, which would have made this at least a little bit closer. But no guy. So Akiyama with the loss, he was awful. He gave up the first 3 of those home runs. And so the Bay Stars hit 6 home runs on the weekend. How many did we get? 0. So that really didn't bode well for our team. And an embarrassing sweep, as I said. And now the lead against the Giants is down to 2.5.
How fast things change, man. It's pretty scary. Yeah. Like, don't look too far back because they're coming.
Yeah, yeah. So they swept their series, and they also swept the Bay Stars earlier in the week. So the Swallows did not help us out at all by bowing down to the Giants. The Bay Stars really hurt us bad because they lost to the Giants and then they spanked us. Well, let's bring us a little bit back to respectability, JD. Let's talk about the last 2 games and before we finish the recaps.
So we welcome in the Swallows here on the 29th. For the first game of this series, we send Aoyagi, our man, up against Taguchi. And once again, Aoyagi just pitches a great game. The only blemish is he gives up a home run to Murakami in the 2nd, which, I mean, what are you going to do? It's Murakami. The dude just absolutely destroys the ball. And then in the 4th, there was a sack fly after a couple of hits, but that's it. That's the only problems that he had. For us, this is a really interesting game. It was a fun one to watch because in the 2nd, Taguchi gets 2 outs against us, but after that, we managed to string together 7 hits in a row, which bring in 5 runs. So it goes Umeno hit, Aoyagi hit, Chikamoto RBI hit, Itohara RBI hit, Marte RBI hit, Sands, who is now our number 4 batter after Oyama got demoted, as I said earlier, down to the 6th spot. Sands drives one in, and then Sato drives one in. It was funny because some of those pitches by Taguchi were not bad pitches. I think in particular the Marte one was a pretty nasty curve that Marte managed to really stay back on and just dig it out. A couple of the other ones too. Sato too didn't really get a tremendous, didn't really get great contact on it. But I mean, kudos to our batters for getting it done because that gets us 5 runs. And that was actually all the scoring for us. Iwazaki comes into the 8th after Aoyagi leaves the mound, pitches the 8th, gives up just a massive home run to Yamada. I mean, the thing was hit just, you know, up to the stratosphere, just barely makes it out, but make it out it does. So Iwazaki gives up a run there. But that's it. Suarez comes in, locks it down. We win the game 5-3. So great to get back. What sort of washed that nasty taste of the Bay Stars series out of our mouth, this one. Man, what can you... Yeah, what can you say about Aoyagi too? Just a fantastic game. He pitches again. Of course, he's one of the heroes in this one. So great win there.
That guy's playing with so much poise. I can't believe. Like, I mean, a couple of years back, I don't know if you remember this, but like it seemed like every start Aoyagi made, he was getting pulled mid-inning because he couldn't. You could just see that mentally and physically, he was unable to dig himself out of the holes he was creating. But now it's like he might create these little divots, but he's unfazed and his control is there and his mental strength is there. He's just a different guy than he was. And I mean, I would have never guessed this when we drafted this boy, that he was going to be A, you know, this reliable, and B, be able to find control without actually getting slapped around as a pitcher. I mean, they're not hitting particularly hard balls against him, other than that Murakami home run. You know, they're not really hitting the ball very hard either. He's still just like racking up the ground balls. And in this one, he had, what, 9 strikeouts and 1 walk, which was an intentional one. So, like, just an unbelievable outing from him. And then Oyama, despite the demotion, he started and ended that second inning with outs, right? So he was 2/3 of the outs in that big inning. Yeah, but it was a fun game to watch for sure, just like you said.
No, yeah, definitely. Now, I wish I could say that we completely trounced them in the next game, but we did not. We actually fought to only our 3rd tie on the season, which I guess is good, but it's still a tie, which is not great. It's not a loss, which is better than a loss, but, you know, it's just one of those things that just leaves you kind of like, meh, nothing really exciting about it. But anyway, to go into it a little bit, Alcantara takes the mound against Takanashi. We start the scoring with a Chikamoto hit, and he steals a base, then Marte doubles him in. So we take the lead at first, but then Murakami comes in once again in the 4th with a game-tying home run. The dude just absolutely mashing it. So stays that way till the 8th when Iwazaki comes in. Osuna, I believe this is what happened. Osuna gets a hit. He gets bunted over to 2nd, and then he comes home on a Santana double. Santana tries to stretch this one into a triple, but he gets thrown out. So that ends the inning, but not before the damage is done. So we're down 2-1.
But once again, drawn in outfield. Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, what way. Happens right next inning, Marte comes in with a home run. So this was first ruled just a fair ball, which would have made it a triple because it just bounced off the right field foul pole. But that is actually a home run. So they went back. Yano asked them to review it. They went back and reviewed it. It was pretty clear right away that it was a home run. So they come out. He gets the home run. So it ties it up. 2-2, but that's all we get, unfortunately. Suarez comes in, shuts the Swallows down in the 9th, which is great, but McGuff returns the favor. He comes in and shuts us down as well, so this one ends 2-2, like I said, our 3rd tie of the season. So we're just hoping that we can go in and finish off the series properly tonight with a win.
Exactly. So, but that puts us at 8-1-2 against the Swallows. So what you and Sanjay said in the last show, really, it still rings true. And I'm not going to actually put a period on that sentence until the season's over. But you know what I mean? The Swallows are not a threat to our team at this point. So anyhow, on the whole, we predicted very wrongly about what would happen in this stretch. Thanks mostly to the Baystars, or should I say no thanks to them. We went 4-6-1 in this stretch. I said 5-3-1 with 2 rainouts, so I was wrong. You said 6-4-1, and Sanjay said 7-4, so we're all wrong. But we are 43-25-3 on the season, which means we are still 18/500. We are 3 games up on the Yomiuri Giants, and we will have to face them again before the All-Star break. We'll get into that in the predictions, but there's still plenty of time for us to either expand this lead or lose it. But yeah. Before we start to talk about that, let's get into our players of the month.
What you gonna do when your team needs you? You're gonna stand tall, hit it over the wall. You are the player of the month. The man, the myth, the tiger. Your player of the month.
So, let's start with the pitchers, and let's start with you, JD. Who have you got among our pitchers as your best for the month of June?
Well, I think it's got to be Aoyagi. I mean, 4 games, 4 starts, 4 wins, 6 runs, only 4 of them earned, 1.20 ERA. Do you need to say anything else? I mean, the dude is just amazing. And like you said, I guess actually, yeah, you could say something else. great control, you know, so many fewer walks. I mean, that was a problem for him in the past, but he's really controlling the ball a lot better. And just the guy is cool as a cucumber on the mound. There's nothing not to like about this guy right now. And he is, at this point, pretty much our de facto ace in a lot of ways, I think. So, yeah, it's got to be Aoyagi for sure.
It's entirely possible that the Tigers get the pitcher of the month 2 months in a row here in the Central League, which I don't know when the last time that happened was, but last month it was Robert Suarez, and he would be a candidate for pitcher of the month for the Tigers again in June. But I'm going to actually give it to someone that we haven't even talked about, even in our pre-recording kind of banter, and that would be Raul Alcantara, who started his career with the Tigers with a couple of lukewarm outings. But in June, he had four starts. They were all quality starts, went 25.1 innings and allowing just 5 earned runs for an ERA of 1.78. He got the no decision 3 times, but he was 1-0. 18 strikeouts and just 6 walks. So I like what I'm seeing out of him. I think he brings a little bit more depth to our rotation, which, you know, no thanks to Shin-chan and no offense to Shin-chan, but, you know, with Fujinami not panning out, we kind of needed that extra arm. And I think Alcantara has actually met the expectations that the team had of him when they signed him in the offseason. So right, other pitchers, though, like we said, Suarez, but also Nishi had a great month as well. So, I mean, yes, we could have mentioned him, and he is definitely worthy of it as well. But we will give it this month to Aoyagi and Alcantara.
Right on.
Well, let's move on to the hitters then.
Yes. All right, so I've got Chikamoto for this one for a couple of reasons. First of all, I mean, just the bare stats, he played very, very well, obviously. 368 batting average on the month with 12 RBIs, 6 stolen bases. Maybe not as good an on-base percentage as I would like to see from the leadoff guy, but mostly I think for Chikamoto, he has really turned it around from just a terrible start to the season. So coupled with just what he's done, you know, in terms of just the bare stats, I'm going to give him the most improved player award too. And so that's what's going to be, that's going to rocket him into first place for me for the batter of the month.
Okay, not only batter of the month though, I mean, this is a guy that's getting it done in the field too.
Yes.
Did you see the catch he made last night?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah.
And I mean, like, he covers ground like none other. I think, like, you know, in the Central League, the Golden Glove has gone to, like, that idiot in Tokyo or Hiroshima, wherever you want to put him, the round guy, for way too long, and it's time for Chikamoto to get it, and I think he's going to get it this year. However, I'm going to give it to, pardon me, I've got somebody else. I'm going to give it to Jeffrey Marte, who has also impressed, and I'm going to say for him as well, he has flashed the leather quite impressively this season, and I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Viciedo is kind of the de facto Golden Glove winner, and he's been all right, but I think that Marte is definitely making a case for himself, making some really smart plays. Despite the 2 errors this month, he's made some really good decisions and made some really great stabs at, you know, some screaming liners that have gone his way. So I like what he's done there, but not only that, but also at the plate. He batted .317 in June and also slashed .411 on base percentage, .537 slugging for an OPS of .947 on the month, .375 with runners in scoring position, 4 home runs, 14 RBI, and again, his walks to strikeout ratio is pretty much 1-to-1, 15 strikeouts and 13 walks. So just getting it done all around. I think that he is the hardest out to get on the Hanshin Tigers. And I mean, in a game where not getting outs is the ultimate goal, he's doing the best job. So I'm going to give it to him.
Yeah, no, he was my honorable mention too, man. I love what the guy's doing. Yeah, I'm a Marte fan for sure. Yep.
All right, well, up next, the moment that most of you have been waiting for, and maybe some of you came just for this purpose, and that is the talk that I had with Mel Rojas Jr. So let's give this a listen, and we'll be back right after that.
Who's in that chair? Who's tea talking to? Who's in that chair? Maybe veteran, maybe new. Who's in that chair? Who's in that chair? Who's in the chair?
All right, everybody, I am here with a very special guest, somebody that we have been waiting a long time to have on the show. I've been waiting forever to talk to this guy because we've been in touch for a couple of months now already. Mel Rojas Jr., the latest acquisition of the Tigers. Of course, this is already 6 months ago, but welcome to the show, Mel.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We're really excited to have you here. And obviously, things have not gone exactly as expected, both for fans and for yourself. But nevertheless, we believe the best is yet to come. And so we are excited for what's going to happen the rest of this year and beyond with you.
Thank you.
So let's get down to business here. I want to ask you, like, when was the first time you ever heard about Japan or like experienced Japan, whether it was like a Japanese car or anime or anything like that? Can you tell me about like kind of the first thing you remember about Japan?
The first thing? I will probably have to go, well, at first I didn't know they were Japanese, but then I obviously figured it was from Japan. Dragon Ball Z.
Okay, yeah.
They're Japanese, right? And there's one more. I can't remember the other one. Oh, even I just found out this like 2 days ago. I didn't know Mario was from like Japanese.
Oh yeah, yeah, big hit here, and yeah, it's Japanese.
I had no clue.
Huh.
So cool. Yeah. But one thing, one movie that I love, and it's might be my favorite from that the whole saga or whatever. Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. I love that.
Nice. Nice. Very cool. Okay, so then you arrived in Japan. Obviously, it's only been a few months, but what was your first impression, or was there something that kind of impressed you or like maybe changed what you had originally perceived about Japan when you arrived?
Well, my first 2 weeks, obviously I had to do quarantine, so like I didn't get to see much, because when I arrived here, it was nighttime, so I didn't get to see any much. But when I got out of quarantine, I remember I was driving from the stadium for Koshin to my apartment, just driving by the water. It kind of reminded me like back at home, like Dominican and also in Miami, where there are so many boats, and I'm a big boat guy. I love to be by the water and stuff. So it's really nice. I was very surprised with how nice this area is, like the Kobe Osaka area is.
Well, I hope you're able to experience that as well when things loosen up a little bit more. But sure. So speaking of back home and such, I know that baseball kind of runs in your family with your dad being a former big leaguer. Can you talk a little bit about your baseball background, including those relatives that play ball?
Yeah, for sure. I come from a baseball family, but I used to love playing basketball too. I was pretty good playing basketball. And I remember my mom asking me one time whether I wanted to be a basketball player or a baseball player. And obviously I had to go with baseball because of my family. I mean, my dad played in the big leagues, my cousin Moises Alou, and then the three Alou brothers, they also play in the big leagues at the same time, in the same team, at the same time in the outfield. So that's pretty special.
Did you grow up watching a lot of ball, like at the ballpark then, or what was that like?
Yeah, for sure. I spent all summer. I went to school in Dominican, and then like I would go in summers. I would go to where my dad was, and I would spend the summer. So it was great being in the baseball life from a young age, especially being around guys like Pedro Martinez, Sammy Sosa, Moises Alou, which he was also a teammate with my dad, and a bunch of like great players.
All right. So this question might be a bit biased then, but who was your favorite player growing up? You can go with a family member or not, but who did you kind of idolize?
Oh, I don't care. I would say Ken Griffey Jr. for sure. Oh. And then as I got older, Manny Ramirez was my favorite player. Definitely my favorite hitter.
Do you think you tried to kind of incorporate any of what they do into how you play the game?
A lot of people compare my swing to Ken Griffey Jr.'s swing, which, that makes me feel good. But I honestly don't try to imitate his swing or anything. A lot of people also compare my swing to Robinson Cano's swing. I think it's more like the finish that they say is similar. But to be honest, I try to be myself. I'm not trying to be like them at all. I wish I had their talent and their numbers, but I'm just trying to be myself.
Fair enough. So I just recently read that you were part of the Dominican team in the 2017 WBC. Is that correct?
Right.
Can you tell me a little bit about that experience playing on that team and how you felt about the tournament?
For sure, the best experience in my career. Hands down, that's the best experience. I feel I wouldn't trade that for anything. I mean, being around guys like Robinson Cano, Jose Bautista, Nelson Cruz, all those big name guys, Manny Machado, Jose Reyes, it was special. It was such a great team. We couldn't make it to the finals, but it was definitely the best experience. And also representing your country in a tournament that big, it's huge.
Well, so when I hear those names, I kind of wonder, like, how did you guys not get further than you did?
I mean, yeah, we had, I think it was just one bad game that we had. We made a couple mistakes, and not to blame the umpires, but I feel like some calls from the umpires also messed up our game. We were playing against Puerto Rico. They had a really good team, though. They had a really good team. And then we were playing – and then when we lost against the United States, Adam Jones made a game-saving catch, which he's here. Whenever I see him, I'm going to remind him of that. he made a great catch, and it cost us the game pretty much.
So pardon my ignorance here, but what was your role on the team? Like, how much playing time did you get?
I didn't get much playing time. My role was just more of a backup outfielder, which that's what I did, and pinch run. But I came out, they gave me a very important at-bat, which I had a bunt, and I got the bunt down, and that's what made us beat Colombia, and we advanced to the next round, to the second round.
Nice. So any thoughts on the upcoming Olympic Games then? I know there's only going to be 6 countries participating as far as the men's baseball, but any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to play for Dominican. They're going to be there playing the baseball team. But I'm not able to. But I mean, I wish them the best.
Got any friends on the team?
Yeah, all of them are my friends. Like, everybody knows, every single baseball player knows each other in Dominican.
Nice, nice. So let's talk a little bit about your time in the minors in America as well as KBO. Did you have any Japanese teammates that you can remember from those times?
That I can remember? Teammates? No, but I do remember pitcher we used to face a lot. His name is, it might be Toru Murata. I think he's with Nippon Ham. He used to pitch for the Cleveland Indians, and we will always like compete against each other, and it was fun. I think he pitched in Venezuela Winter League, so he knew a couple of words, and I always like give him a hard time. I know I faced a couple other Japanese pitchers too, but can't think of them. Oh, actually, I had two Dominican in Dominican Winter Ball. I had two Japanese teammates. They are both with the Chunichi Dragons right now. One of them is like the right-hander from the bullpen. He's a short guy.
Matayoshi maybe? No.
Matayoshi. Okay. I think it's Matayoshi. Yeah, Matayoshi. Uh-huh. And then a lefty. He's in the minors too. Or I think he might have retired last year or something. He's a lefty from the bullpen.
Maybe Okada? I'm not really sure.
No, that's not Okada.
Okay.
I can't think of it. When I remember his name, I'll like text it to you.
All right, cool. Yeah. So let's get back to then you signing with the Tigers. I heard that you talked with Jerry Sands either before signing or soon after. What kind of things did you guys kind of bounce back and forth as far as like ideas or thoughts about you coming to Japan?
I talked to him before signing. Well, before and after. I remember telling the media that they should, the Tigers should give Sands like a bonus or something, because he really did a good job of recruiting me. I mean, he was very helpful, so I really thank him. He gave me all the advice and tips that I needed for me to come to join the Tigers.
Cool. So having played both in the KBO and NPB now, and Jerry has done the same, what are some of the similarities and differences that you see between these two leagues, or between the playing style or the level of play or things like that?
That's a tough question. Just because I can't think of it right now, but I will say the way the cheering, I know this year has been different, but I feel like the fans are really into the game and here in Asia compared to the States. And I love that. I love the fans really getting involved. Even also, I've noticed that here in Asia, like, women's are like real baseball fans. Like, they know baseball, and I mean, they're great fans. I don't mean anything bad by that. I'm just saying, like, it's different from the States.
Right.
Usually, women in the States, like, they'll go to a baseball game and they don't really understand it. A lot of them, but here it's great. On the field, I will say, well, I feel like Korean baseball is a little different than Japanese. The way they like here, they do a lot of matchups, like left-handed pitcher on left-handed batters, and righty on righty. In Korea, the last couple of years, they haven't been doing very many matchups. They'll do matchups, but not like righty on righty or lefty on lefty. It's just like whoever they feel they can get that out. I definitely feel like the ball carries more here than in Korea. Like, it has more life to it.
Cool. Maybe that means we'll see more home runs coming soon.
Yeah,
because you hit a pile in Korea.
Yeah, but who knows when in Koshin, because you never know which way the wind is going to be blowing.
Yeah, true.
But I feel like the pitchers are definitely better here in Japan. They keep the ball pretty good, low, and their secondary pitches are better than in Korea. They're sharper than in Korea.
Got it. So far, having played both on the farm and on the top squad, are there any teammates that you feel are kind of trying to befriend you or talk to you a little bit more than others? Like, are there any guys that can stand out in that way?
I wouldn't say there's anybody that will stand out, but I feel like everybody has been great to me. They're really nice, both minor leagues and the majors. I'm trying to think, like, who were the first guys, like Japanese, that came talk to me in the majors. I think Umeno and Itohara. I usually have like good conversations with Sato. He's gonna be a really good player. In the minor leagues, I usually talk a lot to Shimada, Inoue. I don't know, like, I don't want to be saying names because I have like good relationship with everybody. Like, I actually talk a lot with everybody, so I would just say, like, everybody, I have a good relationship with everybody.
Right. Well, not to put you too much on the spot, but like, how's their English, or like, how does communication work between you guys? Is there a lot of the interpreter coming in, or how does that work?
No, I don't like when I'm talking to the players. I don't like when the interpreter like are on the way. Like, I want to make sure I build like a good relationship with them. Like, they trust me and I trust them. I like to build a good relationship. That way, whenever I got to give them an advice, they like trust me and not just think that, okay, whatever, Mel, like, I don't want to, like, you know what I mean? So like, that's why I rather build like a relationship between us. And I mean, I'll throw some words in Japanese that I don't know very much, but like, I know they understand me, because English, everybody understands English. And also in the baseball world, like, there's some like words that everybody will understand.
Right. So you mentioned Sato as a guy that's going to be a good player. Is there anyone else that you would say, like, oh man, this guy has got a bright future, or he could really become the next star?
I don't know if the next star, but I feel like he's going to be really good. Nakano, he's a good player, and I like the way he hustles. And I think Oyama, he's going to be good. He has some heavy hands. I know he's going to hit a lot of home runs. I know he's older than Sato, but I feel like he's going to be really good. Let me see who else. Obata, I love that kid. He has a lot of talent. That's a lot of talent for sure. Inoue, he has a lot of power. He's going to be good too, but he needs to keep working. Who else? Shimada is pretty good. He's been hot lately in the minor leagues. Who else? I can't think of anybody else right now.
That's cool. No, it's good. I mean, you hear a lot of names, and as a fan, that's exciting to hear, your impression of that as someone who's right beside these guys as they're playing. So yeah, thanks for sharing that.
I mean, I just mentioned a couple of names, but obviously Chikamoto, everybody knows that he's good, and he's been hot the last couple of weeks. Itohara is a good hitter. Umeno is a great catcher. And then pitchers, I don't know much about pitchers, but I know the lefty, Okoyama. Is that?
Oyokawa?
Oh, Oyokawa, sorry.
Yeah.
And then we have some really good arms too, like Saito, Ono. They have some really good arms in the bullpen.
Great. Okay, so you've played both farm games and top squad games at Koshien Stadium. What do you like about playing in that park?
Where?
At Koshien.
Oh, Koshien. To be honest, it's a really nice feel. It's a really nice feel. I know on TV the first time I saw it, I'm like, I don't know how to feel about that stadium, especially with seeing all dirt in infield. I'm like, I don't know how to feel about it. But once I actually got called up, that I went, because I didn't go on the field until I got called up. And when I got there, I was like, whoa, this is really nice. So, I mean, I love it there. I love how, first of all, I love how there we can get so many fans there. It's in like the highest, that's the field that takes the most fans, right?
I think so, 46,000 plus, yeah.
That's great.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's end with a lightning round. I'm going to ask you some questions. You can just quickly fire an answer. If you want to explain them a bit, you can. If you don't want to, that's cool as well. So first of all, which uniforms are you do you like better, the home or the road uniforms?
I like both, but I might have to go with the home.
Okay. Who would you say is your funniest teammate?
Funniest teammate? That's a tough question. Let me think about it real quick.
Or who looks like they might be the funniest, because you may not understand all the humor.
In minor leagues, I feel like everybody's always laughing at Takatera's jokes. Like, for some reason, they're always like laughing at him. In the majors, I can't think of anybody right now. Sakamoto he's pretty funny. I can't think of anybody funny, really, like too funny, because you know how we gotta be a little strict here.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Korean food or Japanese food?
They're both good. I like the Japanese food flavor better, but I also like Korean food. The only thing is that sometimes it's way too spicy. But right. I guess I would have to go with Japanese food.
So what's your favorite Japanese food then?
My favorite Japanese food? I like the yakiniku. I like beef. I like steak. So, I also like the ramen. Ramen is great. Unbelievable. I've been here for like almost 3 months and I haven't tried sushi yet. I can't wait to try sushi here.
Might be a better experience once you're, you know, free to just kind of go where you want to go. So
you know what's also one of my favorite, the beef bowl. They're good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Those are good. Cool. What would be your favorite comfort or soul food from back home?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Like your favorite soul food or your favorite food like that you just kind of crave from back home?
My favorite, I don't know if you know about plantains. Yeah. I eat a lot of plantains, but luckily I'm getting the plantains here. I will order them. Excuse me. And I'll just cook plantains all the time. I also know one of my favorite food is also like Dominican food, rice, beans, and whatever meat you want. And I also cook that here. So I don't really crave much from Dominican.
Okay, cool. We kind of answered this already, but beef, chicken, or pork?
Beef, 100%.
Okay. Beer or whiskey?
I'm not much of a, I don't drink a lot of alcohol at all, but I guess I have to go with whiskey.
Okay. Cardio exercise or weightlifting?
I do a lot of both. I'm not too big with heavy lifting, but I mean, I have to do it, especially in my role. But I also like cardio because if you don't have good resistance throughout the season, then you might struggle towards the end.
Okay. Favorite TV show or movie? And you can list like something Dominican or American or whatever is fine.
Well, nobody's going to know about this show, but I watch Dominican shows, which are Esto No Es Radio, Sin Filtro Radio Show, and Alofoca Radio Show. But there's also a series, like a series from Spain, TV show, that I know everybody loves, because even last year in Korea, they were watching it. It's called Money Heist. It's great. I recommend watching it.
I have to do that. It's on Netflix, I'm guessing?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's good.
Cool. Favorite music genre or artist?
I like Dominican music, which will be dembow. But I have a couple of artists. I have El Alfa and a couple other artists, but definitely that Dominican music. It's called dembow.
What kind of vibe is it? Like kind of R&B or like what kind of style would it be?
I don't know how to explain it because it's like different. It's different. It's more about the beat than anything. I'm trying to find something to compare it to. It's a dance, like it's a music to dance, like it's a dance music.
So is your walk-up song from that favorite group of yours or?
My walk-up song, I can't even remember what my walk-up song is. I think my walk-up song is a trap music.
Okay. Last question. You said you liked basketball or like basketball as well. Favorite NBA team or player?
Unfortunately, he passed away and it was Kobe Bryant. He was my favorite. After he retired, I kind of like stopped watching NBA. But definitely Kobe Bryant and the Lakers. I do have a lot of respect for LeBron James, though.
Right. Actually, I kind of knew the answer to that just because I'd heard. But yeah, man, Kobe, a legend and really unfortunate. Yeah. Well, hey, thanks a lot, Mel, for your time. I appreciate you sitting down with us. And I know that the listeners are going to really love hearing more about you and get to know you better. And hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Thank you. Hopefully I get to meet you sometime soon.
That'd be great. So JD, you were not privy to hear the interview before we recorded this, but just so you know, it was great talking to Mel Rojas Jr. And hopefully there will be a chance for us to actually do maybe like a group Zoom session with him. I think that would be a ton of fun. And he seems like a guy that would be open to doing that. So let's make it happen. Let's have H10 plus Rojas live on the show sometime. Wouldn't that be cool?
Let's do it. Yeah, for sure.
What's going to happen with the record gonna be? What's going to happen with the record gonna be? What's going to happen with the record gonna be? What's going to happen with the record gonna be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's going to happen with the record?
Yeah, let's move into the predictions for the rest of the schedule before the Olympic break. So, by the time you hear this, the Swallows game will be in the rearview mirror, except for us, it is not. So we've got tonight against the Swallows, then we've got three in Hiroshima, three in Tokyo against the Swallows, three at home against the Giants, three at home against the Bay Stars, and then we enter the All-Star / Olympic break. So that means 13 games, assuming no rainouts, but I never assume that, especially because it's rainy season. What do you think we're going to do in these 13 games? Are we still going to be in first place by the time the All-Star break rolls around, and what will the gap be? So first of all, what do you think our record is going to be in 13, possibly anyways, 13 games between now and the break?
I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to say we have a rainout in there and we go 7-5-1, I'll say. I'm going to say the Giants probably we probably lose 2 to the Giants. I think we're going to get our revenge on the Bay Stars and win the series there. Tonight we've got Gunkel going for us against the Swallows. Against the Swallows, Gunkel has 2 starts, 2 wins with a 0.75 ERA. So I think we got a good chance to win this one. And I feel fairly confident against Hiroshima too. So I think we'll pull out a decent record on this one.
You know what? I was going to disagree with you, but I'm actually going to agree with you, except that you said there'd be a rainout, but then you also gave us a 13-game record. So I'll just say a flat 7-5. I'm going to say no ties the rest of the way.
And oh, so sorry. Yeah, us... no, my bad. Sorry, 7-4-1 is what I should have said, yeah.
Okay, there you go. So I'll go 7-5 then with a rainout.
Okay.
And I am going to actually say that our lead against the Giants is going to be the same as it is now, 3 games. So okay. I think the Giants are going to kind of keep pace. By the way, just for the record, like despite our pretty shoddy past couple of weeks, we did finish June 2 games over 500, which is only a little bit worse than the Giants, who finished 5 games above 500 for the month. So if you look at things on the month scale, we only lost 1.5 games to the Giants during that entire month. You know, every team is going to have its hot and cold. The Tigers won 7 straight there for a while. The Giants just came off an 8-game winning streak, and so that kind of balances out. And then the rest of the month is really just a 1-game gap. So not too bad. Obviously, we don't want them to get any closer than they are now. It would be preferred that they, you know, back off a little bit and they slump. But I'm not counting on that. I'm definitely counting on our Tigers to be 20 games or more above 500 at the All-Star break. And then hopefully that Olympic break is going to do us more good than harm, and we'll be able to come back and do some more damage in the second half. Well, thanks for tuning in to H10. If you haven't gotten your fill of Tigers news, then check us out on Patreon for some exciting benefits, or check out the website where I am doing the daily recap, so you can see the score sheet with not only what happened in each inning, but actually some details as to how the runs were scored. You can also check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook for the old school folk like me. Details of all of those places, all of those social media links are in the show notes. Special thanks, as always, to Anwar Amr for the theme music and Show the Show Mixer. Catch you all next time. Thanks, JD, for joining.
Thank you. Go Tigers.
Let's go Tigers.